Morning. Our country has so many special days to remember. Seems like every day is a special day now, right? It's like either Donut Day or Hug Your Pug Day or Kick Your Cat Day or no, probably not that one, but you know what I mean. It's like every day is a special day, and you know the big ones, 4th of July, where we celebrate our hard-won independence. Veterans Day, where we honor those who continue to keep us free. We recognize President's Day and remember the great men who have done great things for our country. We observe Memorial Day, where we solemnly contemplate those lives given so others can live. Christian churches have special days too, like today, where we celebrate communion, where we honor Christ for his love and his faithfulness. We recognize his ministry and his teachings that are vital to a firm foundation of our faith. We remember his great compassion for the lost, for the sick, for the poor. And most of all, we solemnly contemplate his life given so others can live. And that's why we remember this day above all, communion, the Lord's table, the Eucharist, Holy Communion, the Lord's Supper. Among other names, communion is a Christian rite that is considered a sacrament in many churches and an ordinance in others. According to the New Testament, this rite was instituted by Jesus at the Last Supper when he took the bread and the cup at the Passover meal, gave it to his disciples and said, "Do this in remembrance of me." He took the bread, referring to it as his body, and the cup as his blood, the new covenant for them. Through communion, Christians remember Christ's sacrifice on the cross for the sins of the world. We celebrate Jesus as Savior. We honor him as Redeemer. We recognize him as the Lord of our life. And we contemplate his shed blood, the new covenant between a holy God and sinful man, a life given so others may live. We also remember the commission that he was given to his apostles. He had taught them, led them, and guided them for several years. Now they were to go out without Jesus at their side, but with the Holy Spirit deep inside them to do the same things that Jesus had taught them. We too go with the same power of the same Holy Spirit to do the same works of God. Jesus took the loaf of bread and gave thanks to God. Then he broke it and said, "Take and eat. This is my body." He took the cup, declaring it a new covenant in his blood that was poured out for us. They concluded by singing a hymn, and then they went out into the dark to the Mount of Olives, where, as you know, he was betrayed by Judas and then the next day was crucified. If you're familiar with communion services from other church, then you may be familiar with words like rite and sacrament and ordinance. Many churches like Calvary Bible Church use the word ordinance when referring to the communion service. And it's an important distinction that I'll point out in a minute. A rite is simply an established ceremonial or religious act. And a sacrament is a Christian rite, particular to the Christian religion, of particular importance and significance. So both terms are general terms used for portions of our church service, but most often they're used when referring to the communion service. The word Eucharist, meaning to give thanks, is what this Christian rite is often referred to in Catholic churches, as well as some Lutheran, Methodist, and others. The Greek translation of Jesus' words goes like this: And when he had given thanks, Eucharistia, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And this is where we get the term Eucharist. And this should always be our focus when we come to the Lord's table, to give thanks. To give thanks to God for his plan, to give thanks to Jesus for his body that was broken for us, and his blood that was shed for us, for the forgiveness of our sins. So whatever name you use to describe the partaking of the elements, and there I just gave you another one, partaking of the elements, they all relate to the communion service, but there is a theological difference and debate about the use of the words ordinance and sacrament. And it's the reason why Calvary Bible believes that ordinance is the best term to describe the communion service. Roman Catholics, Eastern Orthodox, and many historical Protestant churches like the Lutheran, Presbyterian, Methodist, and Reformed use the term sacrament, because this term associated with the partaking of the elements to them is a means of grace. A means of grace. Meaning God imparts a special blessing of grace on the partaker as you take in this bread and this cup. You get additional graces from God, which could include salvation, your very life itself, and forgiveness of your sins as possible graces. Because Jesus didn't give specific step-by-step instructions regarding this ritual, how, when, where we are to commune, what the bread and cup actually represent and what it does, is highly debated. Calvary Bible Church chooses to do the communion service once a month at the beginning of the quarter, or the beginning of the quarter, each quarter. Other churches are monthly, and other churches every single time they gather together. There are arguments about whether the elements actually become the body and the blood of Jesus, as in the Catholic belief system. The partaking, and they also believe that partaking of the Lord's table is necessary to receive grace. Looking at all the supporting scripture, it's clear that grace is a gift from God that can't be earned by participating in any religious ritual, rite, sacrament, or ordinance. The bread is not actually the body of Christ, nor does it turn into it when it's put in your mouth. Or Jesus would be sacrificed again and again every time you put his body in your mouth. That would totally contradict Romans 6, 9, and 10, as we'll look at here. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. The death he died to sin once and for all. But the life he lives to God. Communion, like baptism, is separate from grace and not a means to it. The rituals of the church cannot confer grace, and they cannot merit salvation. These ordinances are signs of grace, not the means of grace. There's nothing magical and mysterious about this bread and this grape juice. But there is something magnificent in the body and the blood that they represent. Religion, used in a negative term, always has man looking to appease and please God. But as his child, as Jesus as our Savior, with the Holy Spirit in us, that regeneration or that new life in us is what saves us and changes us, not the continual partaking of eating bread and drinking the cup. It has been done once for us. From then on, we remember it and we celebrate it. When men came and asked Jesus, "What must we do to do the works of God?" He didn't say, "Go and take communion." He pointed to belief as the only means of grace. The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent. From John 6:29. And these details about communion have divided churches for centuries. So it's important that we understand what it is that we are doing. And we understand that we are saved by grace through faith, apart from works, apart from any ritual. Knowing the words of Jesus concerning the elements of communion to be figurative, we focus on the beauty of the new covenant, the new relationship that was brought into effect by his body and his blood. We remember his sacrifice as often as we partake in the elements. And hopefully you do it every single day in between. And we look forward to sharing this cup anew in heaven when we get there. The ordinance of communion is a practice that demonstrates the participant's faith, like baptism. It doesn't do anything to us, but it should stir your hearts within us. Christian churches like Baptists, Churches of Christ, Mennonites, and many non-denominational churches like Calvary Bible Church do not call this service a sacrament because we believe it is an outward expression of our faith, rather than impartations of God's grace. This ordinance is observed in remembrance of Jesus' death on the cross. Jesus himself said, "Do this in remembrance of me," not "do this to get more grace." That's why it's an ordinance. And the definition of ordinance is a prescribed religious rite, and Jesus prescribed this remembrance. But don't mistake our view of communion as an ordinance instead of a sacrament to any way, shape, or form lessen the reverence and the beauty of it. Holy communion is just that, holy, something to be set apart and revered. We do it with reverence of heart, with all honor, glory, and power given to Jesus Christ, who was the one who died, who shed his blood, and the one who told us to do this in remembrance of him. Please open your Bibles to Matthew 26, where we're going to look at what was going on the Last Supper, the first communion service, and how it relates today. Matthew chapter 26, verses 26 through 30. They'll be in your notes and on the screen, but best of all, it's in your Bible. While they were eating, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, Eucharistia, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body." Then he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink from this fruit of the vine from now on until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." When they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. So the first thing we see here is that Jesus was eating with his disciples. He was sharing food with them and communing with them in an intimate and private manner. That's what communion is. It's what communion means. Sharing one's intimate thoughts or feelings, especially on a spiritual level. Isn't that the perfect description? When we say we have a personal relationship with Christ, what does that mean? It means we are communing with him on a very personal way about our every thought and every idea, especially about the spiritual, our spiritual nature, our spiritual life, eternal life in Christ. 11 out of the 12 disciples were truly communing with Jesus at the table as true disciples. But one, Judas Iscariot, was with Jesus, but he was not in Jesus. And that's a very important distinction for us today. He was with Christ, but he was not in Christ. Just being in the presence of Jesus and even going through the motions of eating at the table is not the same as being a wholehearted follower, believer in Jesus. Participating in the communion service is not the same as participating in a relationship with Christ. Any meaningful relationship that you have will change your purpose, your priorities, your plans, and your life. Jesus, being the master teacher, knew that we learn and retain information best when we use all of our senses. So he gave a visual and a tangible illustration of what he was going to do physically on the cross. This celebration of Jesus' body broken for them, represented by the bread, and his blood that was spilled for them, represented by the cup, meaning the new relationship, the new covenant that was taking place. And it is still taking place today for everyone who believes. 11 out of 12 disciples took part in the service with the right frame of mind and the right heart. But Judas took part with everybody else as if nothing was wrong and as if his motives were pure. But knowing full well he had already struck a deal with the devil and with the chief priests to betray Jesus. Jesus predicted this would happen. And he talks about the betrayal in verses 23 and 24. Look up to those. Jesus replied, "The one who has dipped his hand into the bowl with me will betray me. The Son of Man will go just as it is written about him. But woe to the man who betrays the Son of Man. It would be better for him that he had not been born." Judas pretended to be concerned about Jesus' Last Supper and even participated right along with everybody else. But Jesus knew the deceit in his heart. Jesus could have stopped him from sinning, and Jesus could have called him out on that sin, but he did not. And little did Judas know that God's plans will prevail with or without us. Jesus addressed this by saying, "The Son of Man will go just as it is written." Meaning the sovereign plans of God will march on despite us, despite any attempt to thwart his plans. Although Jesus would have loved to have had 12 out of 12 wholehearted disciples with him, the odd man out still fit right into his plan. Jesus wants a true-hearted relationship with you, true-hearted disciples. He did then, and he does now. Are you a wholehearted disciple of Jesus Christ? Are you participating in this communion service with a whole heart, an undivided heart? The Apostle Paul includes statements about a divided heart who participates in the communion service that were not written in the Gospels. It's found in 1 Corinthians 11, verses 27 through 29. "Therefore, whoever eats the bread and drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. A man ought to examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord eats and drinks judgment upon himself." So what does it mean to eat and drink in an unworthy manner? You may not betray Jesus straight to his face, but when you partake in the communion service with known sin in your heart, you're partaking in an unworthy manner. It means that if you partake without examining yourself, without recognizing your sin, acknowledging your sin, and confessing your sin, then you are sinning against the very body and the very blood of Jesus Christ that was sacrificed for you. It goes on to say that anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord eats and drinks judgment on himself. Not recognizing the body of the Lord means that you are eating and drinking these elements that represent the very body and blood, meaning you are tasting, smelling, feeling these elements without even considering what it represents. You never consider that the bread represents the body that was killed for you, and the cup is the blood that was spilled for you. Jesus did this to create a new covenant, a new agreement, a deeper and more personal relationship with you. He did it as your Savior, as your Redeemer, as your Lord, bringing us into a relationship as co-heirs and as children of God. We should relish that. We should celebrate this with a pure heart. All who do this, but not in remembrance of Jesus, meaning you just go through the motions, you're not even thinking about what you're doing, brings judgment upon themselves with every bite and with every sip. In keeping with Paul's instructions, we should examine ourselves before we eat and drink and confess any known sin that we've been dealing with. These are sins that you say, I have no intention of stopping tomorrow. I'm going to eat through this. Maybe I'll even ask for forgiveness for eating with sin in my heart, but I have no intentions of giving up that sin. That is not participating with a clean and undivided heart. One of the reasons why we celebrate the Lord's Supper just once a quarter at Calvary Bible Church, because we don't want it to be just another religious ritual. We don't want it to become stale, just going through the motions, or worried about what the person next to me thinks if I don't take it. That means they must think I'm a sinner. Guess what? We are, but we are saved by grace, called to remember this time. Our desire at Calvary Bible Church is that every time you partake in the elements, you confess your sins, you get right with God, and then you celebrate what He has done. You reconcile that relationship with God and with Jesus, that you consider your call to ministry just as it was done at the First Communion and Last Supper. Paul said, "For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes." That's 1 Corinthians 11:26. And that is what we are going to do today. Proclaim His death until He comes. For all who would believe, and we'll continue to do this until He comes. Jesus said, "Do this in remembrance of Me." And we'll do that right now. As the men prepare to tend to the elements, I remind you once again that the Lamb of God was sacrificed for you once and for all. Paid in full. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, have confessed your sins, called upon the name of the Lord to save you, whether you're a member of this church or not, I encourage you to take these elements, to remember what He has done. Proclaim His death until He comes. If you are here today and you are not a believer in Jesus Christ, this bread and this juice are not for you. Please do not partake in them and bring judgment upon yourself. But the very body and blood they represent was given for you. Please contemplate that. Right now, even as we close this part of our service, if Jesus is calling you to repent of your sins and call upon Him to save you, if He is calling you to the joy and peace and salvation that only He can provide, do that. And then see me, see Pastor Howard, one of the elders. Don't pass on the moment to be able to celebrate this Christian rite of a new relationship. What a way to start out the new year with a new life in Christ. We encourage you to do that now.